Jesus and tell of his love, and tell of his love. We'll give the glory to Jesus and tell of his wonderful love. Before we go tonight, I want to give you a quote before I turn this service back to Brother Vail. Talking about confession, Brother Branham said on warning judgment, the great army of God marches on. Oh, not many in number, but what a powerful group they got, eternal life. That's got eternal life. They'll run through a troop, leap over a wall. Yes, the troop of death will have no holders to it. She'll run right through it, leap over the wall between the natural and supernatural and go into the arms of God, into the great eternity. Lord God, we thank you for this. We know the time is approaching at hand. How many believe that? Notice that, running through a troop, leaping over the wall between the natural and the supernatural. And Brother Brown said, sirs, is this the time? He said, what if it's something to let us know how to enter into that rapturing faith? Is it we'll run through a troop, leap over the walls? Is there something fixing to happen? These old marred, vile bodies are going to be changed? Yep. Yep, that's what it was about, because he said rapture and faith laying in those thunders, which was the opening of those seals. I'm just giving him back what I believe, brother. How many ever heard that little chorus, I can run through a troop and leap over a wall? Hallelujah. He is my sword and my shield. He is a power for all. Hallelujah. I am free from condemnation. Jesus is a rock and my salvation. I can run through a troop and leap over a wall. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I want to sing it through once. If you've not heard it, and maybe you can join in with me, you'll love this chorus. I can run through a troop and leap over a wall. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. He's my sword and my shield. He's my power for all. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I am free from condemnation. Jesus is a rock of my salvation. I can run through a troop, leap over a wall. Hallelujah, hallelujah. My confession. He said, we're going to do it. I'm going to do it. You think you could sing it one time? Before we turn the service to our brother Vail, I can run through a troop, leap over a wall. I'm used to a lot of music down there. We have a lot of them playing by ear, and they pick it up. I notice up here they play by music, and so I understand that. But let's try that one time. I can run through a troop. I can run through a troop and leap over a wall. Hallelujah, hallelujah. He's my sword and my shield. He's the power for all. Hallelujah, hallelujah. I am free from condemnation. Jesus is the rock of my salvation. I can run through a troop and leap over a wall. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, glory. I like to make the devil listen to our praises. You love him tonight? How many believes I'm the bride of Christ? Can you say it? Go ahead and say it. I'm the bride of Christ. I'm one with him. I'm the righteousness of God. Brother, sister, that's a bride's confession. I just want to give you my testimony, what I think about what I've been hearing, and what I think about what's going on at this hour. God bless you, Brother Lee.
I don't think, Brother, it'd be good to preach, but you can't tell time. The sun isn't down yet. You may be seated. We cannot have the Lord's Supper until we have the sun going down and foot washing. I don't like to have previous to the communion table because that's how Brother Branham did it. I wouldn't say that it's wrong for somebody else to do it, but we don't do it any other way here. Appreciate that message very much, but you've got actually 20 minutes left here. So I guess he's going to try to make me fill in, and I don't know how I'm going to fill it in exactly. But you are going to have to sit here for a while and just let your faith take over and absorb what has been said. You've heard me say more than one time that most of us preachers, you know, we can pretty well delineate upon a subject, but Jack's the one that believes it, eh? I don't know. I don't know how he does it, but he believes it. And what he said tonight, I know he believes with all his heart. He doesn't only believe it, but he practices it. I trust the Lord blessed you all tonight and help you mightily, and will continue to do so. Now, I'll just go into Scripture here, take a little time on. Well, we'll go to John 13 first of all, because this will take care of the subject of foot washing. As Brother Bell said, there's three ordinances that have been left to us, which is true. The foot washing, communion, and baptism, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, it says in the 13th chapter, now before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour was come, that he should depart out of this world unto the Father, and having loved his own which were in the world, he loved them unto the end or to the uttermost. In other words, this would be the supreme sacrifice that he's anticipating, participating for them or procuring for them by his own death. And supper being ended, the devil having now put into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray him. Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands, and that he had come from God and went to God, he rises from supper and laid aside his garments and took a towel and girded himself. Now, you know, of course, there where he says he came from God and go to God, that was not the human body per se, because the human body was made for him through the through Mary, who literally took the chemical processes of her body, using the elements of the earth to bring that body forth unto him. Now, of course, it could not have come forth except for the presence of life. And, of course, that was the Logos, which was the attributes, the fullness of the attributes of Almighty God coming into form bodily. So this is what would be going back to God, having come from God. We have the same thing right today, because we have him here in the form of the Holy Spirit in the pillar of fire. All right, he rises from supper and laid aside his garments and took a towel and girded himself. Now, the laying aside of his garments, I can't help but believe that that is over here in Philippians, the second chapter, where it says, let this mind be in you, verse 5, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God. And, of course, that word form in there, as Brother Branham brought out from the Greek, typically from Thayer, the form of which a person or thing, the form by which a person or thing strikes the vision, the external appearance. And that's the same, of course, as what you find over, you just leave your finger there if you want. He says here, who being in the brightness of his glory in the express image of his person. Now, if you use the word image, you know that's not the real thing. That's an actual copy that holds. Upholding thing by the word of his power, and he purged our sins, sat down the right hand of the majesty on high. All right. Made himself a no reputation, thought not robbed equal with God, made himself a no reputation, took upon him the form of a servant, was made in the likeness of man, and being found in fashion as a man, humbled himself, became obedient to death, even the death of the cross. Now, that's typical to me here, where it says he laid aside his garments. And you know the old song, out of the ivory palaces into a world of woe? You know, speaking of the great Redeemer coming. I believe this is typical of Jesus giving an example of exactly who he was and what he was doing, which was the Lord and Master humbling himself to become a servant. You know, it seems that the great desire of people is to have service rendered to them. And they used to have it by slavery, which was the finest form of service ever rendered, because a slave could certainly do better than a machine, no matter how well a machine was made to serve you. There's nothing better than a human intelligence serving you. And, you know, that's why people have a lot of servants. And it makes them somebody, you know, to be great. It gives them a position because it shows an authority over. But you notice that Jesus, who was literally the Creator, took the place of a servant. And that ought to tell us something, explaining Scripture that says, he that is greatest of all, let him be servant of all. That, now, that doesn't mean to be a legalist and try to serve in that respect. This is the true humility of a person who recognizes his position in the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, when you recognize your position in Christ and you're really humble, then you don't say anything contrary to God. If he says, you're the righteousness of Christ, then you say, I am the righteousness of Christ. But then anything, when somebody say, well, I'm really humble because I wouldn't say that. Well, you're just a bluff and a liar. Because every word of God be true, but yours a lie. And if you say something different, you know, and then Brother Bannon said that the chaff was going to separate from the wheat when the wheat says, I and my Father are one. Now, I'm not telling you what I'm saying, I'm telling you what he's saying. This is, to me, that foot washing is the true symbol of humility and understanding your position in him, which is not an inferior position. See, people say, I believe I'm part way in Christ. I'm progressing into Christ. That's not what the Bible said. When you're in Christ, you grow up into him. You don't grow up into it, you grow up unto it. See, so your confession is very, very important, and I think our understanding of these things should be, as much in line with the Word as we can derive from what Brother Branham said, or what we ourselves received from the Lord, or some servant that God has used in yesteryear, which since the Reformation, there have been some tremendous scholars in the Scripture that he does well to listen to them. Brother Branham never said Luther was wrong. Luther was not perfect, which means finished, rounded out, and completed. Luther was fine for where Luther went, but something was left off. Wesley was fine for where he went, and compared to Luther, he went nowhere in the Scripture. Now, if you read Wesley, he's going to leave you cold alongside of Luther. Wesley's writings and his theologians like Fletcher do not contribute to us the way Luther did. There's no way. And you can see where Lutheranism went back to organization, but you can see the proliferation of the Wesleyan organization far more than you see a Lutheran. They just backslid. Lutherans don't say what Luther said. I don't say Wesleyans say what Wesley said either. But there's a tremendous proliferation in there where they just went way out. You get a chart someday and see how that the churches came from the old mother harlot, and then how they began spreading out from Luther, and then they really began moving. See, that was the time of missions, and they really began to move out. And most people don't want to, to admit their roots, but you'd be surprised where Jehovah's Witnesses came from. 70 and then the rest of them. Get that. If I ever find my chart, I'll show it to you. Well, see, they come so far, and they couldn't come any further. They just couldn't. Now, Brother Branham comes on the scene, and they weren't perfect. Now, he brings us to a place where that which is perfect has come, so that we're one with the Word. Now, anybody then that says opposite, there's something wrong with them. He didn't make Luther wrong and Wesley wrong and the Pentecostals wrong. They didn't come to where they're supposed to be. He said, you potentially had the Holy Spirit. Now, anybody says they weren't born of the Holy Spirit, they've got to be slightly less than normal as a Christian, or a whole lot less than normal, because they were born again. But they only potentially had him. Now, we're to the place where that which is perfect has come. And who brought us to that place? He himself brought us to that place. See, they're using a prophet's voice. And the prophet said, that which is perfect has come. We used to know in part, but now we don't know in part. There have been seven parts to bring the whole. God's complete. He himself is in threes, and completion comes in sevens. Perfection in threes, and the completion in sevens. Seven church ages, and the last one was a prophet, and God on the scene, the same as he came with Paul. So now, there's a completion. And we're back to Ephesus, and don't listen to this stuff if you say, well, Ephesus was a fallen woman. Ephesus did not fall in the beginning. She was perfect bride in the beginning. Then she fell. Now we're going to get back to Ephesus again before the fall. And it doesn't matter then what goes in between. That Brother Branham said, don't look on what's in between. See? Now we're back. So now we're back to the place where that Spirit has to come into the church, which is going to bring forth a resurrection. Now, then we see here a picture of a true humility. All right? Then at the end time, the last church age bride would be the most humble, circumspect, the plainest, but the believingest of them all outside of age number one, that first part. And I think we have an edge on that because we got more to believe. See, we have more to believe because now the fullness is here. We come right to hit you. So foot washing can mean a whole lot more than you and I just entering into a service of it and saying, well, that's an ordinance. We're supposed to do it, and we do it. I've always claimed that there isn't anything that we're to share in that isn't tremendously edifying and tremendously Christ-glorifying and just tremendously good for us and bringing us up to a higher level. Foot washing could never simply mean, look, well, a part of your body gets dirty and we'll just get it cleansed out and that'll take care of it. Not in my books it doesn't. Because you can wash your own feet. You have a relationship to God. This is a relationship to brother and sister, brother to brother, sister to sister. And it brings in, as far as I can see, a real understanding, humility. And with that humility, and it's not humility unless it is saying just what God said. The other is the devil's lie. He doesn't want anybody to say, well, I'm the righteousness of God. He doesn't want to say with Paul, who dares condemn me to death? God says I am righteous. He doesn't want us to say the things that the prophet told us say, that to confess that we're one with the Father. And I'll tell you what, that'll hurry people off just the same as you said, I got leprosy. Now, I'm going to tell you something. You could rub a leper stump over your nostrils or over your mouth, and you ain't going to catch it. But how would you like me to just try that with a leper's arm, and you sit there and say, I believe that. Ha, listen. You'd just hightail it out of here like a hound dog with a, you know, with the tail end full of buckshot. See? All right? You just tell the person in faith, all right, I'm the righteousness of God. He'll say, you and who else? They're gonna look at you like the black plague or a shot of leprosy coming up. See? So here is where, now he says, now, what I do, thou knowest not now, but thou shalt know hereafter. So therefore there is a revelation in this foot washing that even they didn't have, that has got to be extant in this hour, because we're right back to it. See? And Peter said, thou shalt never wash my feet. And Jesus said, if I wash thee not, you've got no part with me. Now, this is a personal service that he did that you and I are to just follow on through. And Simon Peter said, Lord, not my feet only, but my hands and my head. Now, notice how this man is going from one extreme to the other. He's not satisfied to just take what Jesus said and just go right with it. Now, that's the way a lot of people are. They're either going to take from it or add to it. Now, you notice he couldn't stand still and just say, that's marvelous. Look what he's doing. He couldn't do that. No, he couldn't do it. He couldn't stand still. So now when he said, if you don't let me do this, it shows that you don't have a part. Now, you know, that's a pretty crass statement in the face of what we believe and people believe concerning Jesus Christ. And I'll tell you why it's a crass statement to the people. Because they don't wash feet. Very few people wash feet. Because to them it's an oriental custom that it was hot and dusty, and as Brother Branham just, he might as well have came blurred it flat out, a bunch of manure on the streets, I think he did mention it. And you can stumble into that any old time, inadvertently or otherwise. And now you don't smell very nice. So you go into a house and they wash your feet down, and so they say, well, that was just a custom in the Orient where it's red hot, and they wore sandals or no shoes at all. Well, we wear nice shoes, and our feet don't need washing, so why should we bother? So you got a bunch of Peters that are a little unregenerate at this point. Because Jesus said, when you get converted, you strengthen your brethren. So Peter standing here is a man that's a religious man and a good man. There's no two ways about it. He's as fine a man ever walked in shoe leather or sandals or anything else you want to say, or bare feet. But you notice how he went to the extremes. See, first of all, no way, then, hey, do a better job still. Now, we're talking serious things about foot washing. This should be going through our minds as we wash each other's feet. See? Thinking of the spiritual aspects, the element there. This is what he said, what we do. Now, this is a process that is edifying. And Jesus said, he that is washed needeth not save to wash his feet, but is clean every whit, and ye are clean, but not all. Now, you notice here that Judas is going to get out of here pretty soon. Now, he knew who should betray him, therefore he said, you are not all clean. Now, evidently, there is something in here that's going to be satisfying to the soul and make you a more astute Christian, a more able Christian, and a better person by doing this. You see, I just don't think that's true because, you see, I got the Holy Ghost. I don't care if you have got the Holy Ghost. It proves you don't have the Holy Ghost. You do this, believing.
Amen.
Now, how many people actually wash feet? Why, you couldn't have sold me on this for nothing, said Brother Branham taught. I wouldn't wash anybody's feet. I said, come on, don't be silly. We wear shoes over here. We wash our feet. I don't want my feet washed. Get away from my toes. I've been very facetious about it. But now, listen, Jesus was deathly serious. Now, I use the term properly, deathly serious, because you're going to die. He said, you don't know now, but you'll know later. What did they know later? I'd like to know. I'm going to tell you one thing. Paul mentioned widows, and he said, look, she's got to be 70 years of age. You've got to wash the saints' feet. You say, well, would that put her in a status in the local assembly where they take care of her and show her to be an honor? You bet your life. What if she didn't do it? Well, she just wouldn't have part, period. Now, she has nephews, they take care of her. But this is talking about a lady that might need help in order to even sustain her life. How many people need groceries? We don't deserve groceries. You don't wash saints' feet. But this is not silly. This is not silly. This is just where it goes. People just don't want to take these things serious because, you know why? Because they got their own ideas. Now, tonight, we don't have any ideas. We got unadulterated word by the prophet who just stood up there and did it, and he didn't go into a lot of facets I'm going into. Maybe I'm grasping for straws to pin this thing down more and more, and if I'm grasping for straws, fine. I had no trouble there. There's just such a thing as gleaning and using the straw afterward. All right, we just keep moving. Now, he said, you're not all clean. Because one of you is not. So, therefore, this is for clean people. Anybody that's in the bride and doesn't wash feet, there's something wrong. No questions asked. Absolutely par. Just the same, Brother Branham put this on par with water baptism. Which I know he said there's three ordinances, but I don't think he put it on par. Well, you tell me he didn't. You find me where he didn't put it on par. Now, if you're baptized in water, correctly and full of the Holy Ghost, you will do this. And if you won't do this, I don't care how correctly you're baptized, something went wrong somewhere. Now, you say, well, communion is a great thing. We should do that. How come baptism and communion are such great things and this is not such a great thing? Well, you say, well, I can tell you the answer. He stepped one over on us. Oh, no. No? He said, you know hereafter. I don't know if we know everything yet. I don't think we do know everything yet. I'm just going along here. Yeah, after you washed their feet and taken his garment, was set down again. He said to them, know ye not what I've done to you. Now he's going to explain to the people. You call me Master and Lord, and you say, well, for so I am. All right? Is he Lord or is he not Lord? Now this one that you crucified, God has raised the dead and made him both Lord and Christ. The Pharisees were a little bit, you know, they were smart people. I don't think they weren't smart. They were smart, and they were gullible in certain areas. In other words, they weren't gullible. But they were very, very astute. Right down to the line, and they missed it. And they said, you know, there are certain problems we have. We'd like some questions answered. Jesus said, that's good. He said, I'd like some questions answered, too. He came right back to them. Now, he said, David in spirit, he said, says the Lord said to my Lord, sit down my right hand. David in spirit calls and orders in. Whose son is he? They said, we don't know. Can't tell you. Well, I won't tell you either. Now, I think we got the same thing. Now, I'm telling you, I could be just grasping the straws here, and I could be wrong, but I don't think I am. The Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, the voice of the archangel, the trump of God, and then Christ rise first. And we, which are alive, I mean, shall be caught and meet the Lord near. Now, because everybody reads that, the way it is written, and I don't believe they have the revelation of it's correct, and see that he came down here, they still think he's up here, because Brother Brown said he does all three in descending, but descending is ascending. He said, and he stood there and he said, the pillar of fire appeared when he was down there, so the pillar of fire came down. Now that's appearing, the other second coming. So if the Lord himself descends heaven, that's appearing. And the Lord said to my Lord, sit down my right hand. I want to ask which Lord came down here, which Lord is there? I'm going to ask you a question. If he's here, isn't he here? Well, he said, you call me Lord and Master, and you do well. I believe this opens scripture to us. And I am. Now he said, if I then your Lord and Master, have washed your feet. And this is the hour of revelation and understanding. He's right back in that period. And this is the hour of betrayal, where the devil comes into a man. Now this was the hour of God manifesting in the pillar of fire and through a man. So that William Branham was not the Son of Man, the pillar of fire was not the Son of Man, it was in the form of the Holy Spirit. We saw the ministry. Now, who was that? That's the same one right here. Now then, you ought to wash each other's feet. Are we hitting something? Are we striking flowing water? I hope so. Because this is to build us up. And to make us understand this is not just some little ceremony, some little thing he gave us, but this is a reality in this hour. We call him Lord and Master. We recognize him. He'd been fully unveiled. Brother Branham put that so strong on the road to Emmaus, he said, when you came in the building, he did something that only he could do, and they knew who he was. Down there in the Sea of Galilee, when they were fishing, he did something that only he could do, they knew who he was. Now, you got the same thing right today, identified by his characteristics. And you know what I believe, since Brother Branham came on the scene, there's been a revival of foot washing. Because they've gone plumb around the world. And it is because in recognition of him who is our Lord and Master, we wash each other's feet. Did you get what I said? Because you recognize him as your Lord and Master, you wash each other's feet. If I then, your Lord and Master, wash your feet, you ought to wash one another's on the ground of the recognition. If you recognize God, you answering back by the foot washing illustration, by the foot washing communion service to God. You say, I don't know if that's right. Well, that's fine. We don't anything right then. Words lose their meaning. I cannot believe for 1 minute that words lose their meaning, because this is God in the printed form. This is the word elucidation of the great one who wrote it and is his own elucidator, which in plain English, as Brother Branham said, God reveals and interprets his own word. See? Then it becomes a conduit of the Spirit. So therefore, as your mind absorbs it, and you believe the Holy Spirit dynamizes it, then you become the Word of God in your flesh. How? At this hour. Not another hour. At this hour. And foot washing means an awful lot to us people. What if one day they said you're not going to be allowed to do that? So I don't think that's so bad. At least they're not going to stop from being baptized in water in the name of Lord Jesus Christ. Are you kidding? Well, at least we'll be able to go and take communion. Are you kidding? I thought they all went together. How many people would stand up and suffer for foot washing? I don't know. It's a good question. I think they'd soon find a little out that is a little Oriental custom. He didn't say that. For I have given you an example that you should do as I have done to you. That's come on down, right down humility. The great one is here, and we recognize it by performing a simple service to each other, and your feet won't even need washing. I took a shower just before I came to church. I do it because I'm going to wash my hair anyway. So my feet don't need washing. No way, shape, and form. In fact, it might be annoying to me. I may put on a pair of shoes that are a little bit hard to get off and on. I've done that too at foot washing and said, hey, I wore the wrong pair of shoes. But that's not the point at all. Not the point at all. The point is, are we being God with an understanding of this hour? That He is Lord of all. That He is here at the head of the church to raise the dead. Now, people can say what they want. Listen, I'm quoting you words that the prophet said. And he was not an idiot. I knew William Branham personally very well, better than anybody here, all he put together. And that's not a far-fetched statement. That's the truth. He was not some kind of a insipid person that wanted to make a little name for himself by some little thing. I'll tell you something. He could whirl and you look a hole in you to make you mount into that floor. Read your heart like you don't even know your heart. Foot washing. Important. What God does for us coming out of this little foot washing service, I just keep looking for good things. That's all. Now he said, if you know these things, happy are you if you do them, prosperous are you to do them. So I'm going to leave here in better shape than I came. Now Paul said you can come to church and take foot washing and communion and leave in worse shape than when you came. That's right. I don't care what it is spiritually, you're even worse shape. If it's not in the revelation, in the revealed word, not been revealed to you in the right spirit. See? The gifts the same way. All these things the same way. Now he said, prosperous are you to know and to do. Now do you believe tonight then that when you leave this service that foot washing has made you a better person in this sense that you've been built up, you know what I mean? And you leave here with a joy and a depth you didn't have before. You say, will that do something for me? Well, it says right here. Now, come on. What's it done for you previously? So I don't know. Well, I can tell you've been built up. You say, why do you say that? Because he can't lie. Of course, I didn't have my measuring rod out. Well, that's very true. You didn't. But how many times do you ever realize in your life when your bloodstream began changing your body that your body was being changed? Not one time. In fact, you just got to give God credit. You don't look at the seen things many times, look at the unseen things. See? For verily I say unto the serpent is not great in his Lord. Neither is he that is sent greater than he that sent him. Now just a minute. He's talking about the Lord sending servants. And he's telling you here that the one sent is not greater than the one that sent him. So therefore, foot washing means that every one of us, though Brother Branham said, is a Messiah, and Paul said is a legate, you know, we're legates of God, delegates of God, ambassadors of God. It doesn't cloud the one that sent him. In other words, that person doesn't take over any authority or take away from him who sent. In other words, the great sender. And this bride is categorized in the book of Thessalonians, the first book, fourth chapter, that she takes no preeminence over anybody or anything, though she's standing here to go right to the tree of life and be taken up without dying. Foot washing makes you recognize that. See, how often I've talked to people who thought they're just as great as Brother Branham. I don't know. I can understand poor Jack getting really torn up about things. But that used to tear me up just like a million barbed wires at the time. I really just, you know, walk in there and just wade in. That's that. I say, well, what is the use? What is the use? If a man could stand in the presence of Jesus Christ and deny him, sell him out for a bit of money, and Satan's got his own messengers transforming angels of light, and the anointed ones at the end time can just outperform anybody almost. And why would I get fussed up if people turn around and think they're just as great as Brother Branham, maybe greater? Because the same people inadvertently, and I say this with kindly, inadvertently, will in all probability believe that poor God, what would he do without them? In other words, foot washing unknowingly puts us into perspective. Puts us in the caste system of God, which is by gradation. Though the cell of the eyeball is no more important than the cell of the big toe. It's all one cell. So you see these things come in foot washing, and they're very, very important, very unobtrusive, but the working of our whole body is very unobtrusive. That's why people misunderstand the move of God many times. It's not flashy enough, it's not big enough, it's not gaudy enough, it's not pedantic enough, it's not this enough and that enough. The kingdom of God comes in without observation amongst children. Not to the wise and prudent. Little weaned or unweaned ones who can take the training and the lesson. Foot washing is a part of that. It yields itself to it. It speaks of it. See? If you know these, happy to do them. I speak not of you all. I know whom I've chosen. But the scripture may be fulfilled. He that eats the bread lift up his heel against me. I tell you before it come to pass, when it come to pass, you may know, may believe that I am he, or I am. Verily I send you, he that receives, whomsoever I send receives me, and he that receives me receives him that sent me. Now this is all in the foot washing service. Now they'll take a whole theology and write a whole book of theology on what I read and bypass foot washing. And we could be guilty of the same thing. Your brother Bill preaches on cloud nine. I'm preaching you on cloud nine. What is easier? Should I preach some great thing that's hard to do? Should we start a missionary effort? Everybody get $5,000? Maybe a couple could do it. But the rest of you fall flat. So you're all excluded. But we can all wash feet. So I think that's too common. Well, thank God for the common. If you're on my diet, you'd be reduced to the common. Leave all your refined starches and all your refined sugars and all that junk out in the garbage tin where it belongs. I still have feeling tremendously good over it. You know, a little rigorous at times. But it's a whole lot good for me. So it's time to shake off all this frolity-roll that Brother Branham tried to shake off. All these things that have been brought in by creeds and dogmas and all these like this and come back to a simplicity. Foot washing is very important. And by the grace of God tonight, there'll be not one of us leave this building but somehow, some way, having participated in the command of Almighty God, we are going to leave here in a prosperous condition more than we came. You say, I believe that. You believe it, it'll happen here. You believe it'll happen. Said right here, he that receives whomsoever I send receives me. It's got a lot to do with him right here. Got a lot to do with the prophet and the Logos. You see, strange, isn't it? I don't think I stretched any scripture because I'm within context. Then Jesus became troubled in spirit. He said, there's going to be some betray me. I tell you, a foot washer is not going to do it. That is, a born-again foot washer is not going to do it. And the man that says he's born again doesn't wash feet, he's got a little problem. Now, you see, right here, I'm linking this thing very, very close to something that I think by now you should have discovered. And that is, women cannot cut their hair. And people cannot deny foot washing. I wouldn't say that this is authoritarian because I'm not an authority. But could it just be possible that a woman cutting her hair is no worse off than a person who won't wash feet? They're both commandments. See, where do the churches go? Now you say, well, our churches, they believe right. Well, praise God. You're happy already. See? The Lord bless you. Sun's just going down. I'm not standing. I'm going to move my pulpit back yet. Now we're going to go to 1 Corinthians 11 chapter. Everything has a meaning or God wouldn't do it. Look, the types and shadows back there. In the Old Testament. You couldn't hitch a mule and a horse together or something like that, or a cow and a horse or something. Well, I forget all these. You couldn't hitch them together. See, I don't remember those things. They don't mean too much to me. But it shows you couldn't take flax and linen and mix them. I guess there was no flax is linen. Flax and wool maybe or something. Maybe you couldn't mix various cloths with their types of material. In other words, you couldn't mix leaven in things either at a certain time. So we have to be careful now that the word's been revealed to us. And if we probe a bit ourselves to have a little understanding, there's no harm done as long as you do what the Word of God says and say, well, is there something in here deeper than this? And of course, if it's so deep, you run off somewhere and you know you missed it. But if it's just to the place where you know that, hey, I'm glad I'm doing this, I'll just continue doing this, then I believe you're on safe ground. All right. Now, Paul says in the 23rd verse, for I have received of the Lord. Now, notice this is revelation. He did not get this from Peter, James, and John because he did not converse with them till 14 years later. Now, he said, I got this straight from the Lord. And now, what was that? That was Jesus Christ, Hebrews 13 and 8, in a pillar of fire. All right. That the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread, the foot washing night. And when he gave thanks, he broke it and said, take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you, this do in remembrance of me. After this manner, also same manner, he took the cup when he supped, saying, this cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as oft as ye drink in remembrance of me. Now you're looking at two things here, the broken body and the shed blood. As oft you eat of this bread and drink this cup, you show forth, you show the Lord's death till he come. And that word show is declare or proclaim. In other words, every time we do this together, we are preaching a sermon. This is a sermon by example. Now, this is one time everybody's a preacher, in this limited sense. A witness is the actual word. And the word, by the way, witness is martyr. The word for witness is martyr in the Bible. You'll be a martyr if you're a true witness. If you're not a martyr, you're not a true witness. That's perhaps our trouble. Where, you know, back where this Laodicean age, lukewarm. Get hot to where they clobber you. It's not that all easy either to be clobbered. But do you good, though. Knocks off those bad spots. Sands you down. All right? You show forth the Lord's death till he come. Notice it's showing forth the Lord's death till he come. Now, I don't believe for one minute that that's appearing. That's coming. Three comings in the flesh. Once he already came. Second time we meet him immortal in the air. The third time is down here on earth. Okay, God does God perfect in three. Like the pillar of fire. Moses, Paul, William Branham. Exactly. He said it. Wherever whosoever shall eat this bread, drink this cup unworthily, shall be guilty of the body and the blood of Jesus Christ. All right? That's an unworthy manner. And Brother Branham told us about that when he talked on discernment. And the major force of his message on discernment was what kind of a people cannot discern the messenger of God in the hour in which they live. What good do people take these emblems? Or you say, I believe it's a thing to do. I believe it's a thing to do. Every Brother Branham said, down in Egypt, you know, the prophet Moses said we should take the blood and put it on doorpost. So they said, well, Rabbi, I believe that's a good thing to do. He said, well, don't talk about it, do it. Okay, then what about taking communion? Once again, there is the silent, unobtrusive, yet brilliantly illuminating part of worship whereby we are literally witnessing to the pillar of fire and the prophet of God. Because to take unworthily is to lack discernment. I covered 15 points a year ago last September on that in Columbus. The major thrust was always not recognizing God in where he is at this hour and what he's doing. So you're taking communion today to really be in the Spirit of God and in understanding your discernment must be that which is anointed for the hour. And in this hour, when they saw him identify himself, they did the same as they did when he was here upon earth in human flesh, but now in the flesh, working through the flesh of another man, they said, well, that's the devil. And some said, that's God. The other said, we don't know. Well, who are they that do know? They that said it's God. Then who's taking the emblems correctly? Now we've got some taking wrong, some taking right. Now what happens when you do it wrong? Or you're the wrong person? Well, it's out. In other words, the bride at this point are the only ones who are truly one with this word where it is truly efficacious. The foolish virgin will wait her turn at the white throne, but there'll never be a bride. So you see, the taking of the bread and the wine is much more important than people realize, because now there's another witness. You got one witness, baptizing in the Lord Jesus Christ. Communion, foot washing. Everyone is a sermon preached. Everyone is witnessing to the reality of the hour. Luther looked for life, but this is the hour that life came. And when he is our life appears, we appear with him in glory. In other words, we're manifested. This manifests. Oh, you couldn't sell the word on it. The word counts the church or anybody else. You can't sell the fundamentals on it. Why, they no more believe the rapture tape than, why, come on. There's no way they can believe it. The prophet stood right there and he said, just like Moses. And I said, you're not going to believe this doctrine I'm bringing you. Because it's a very strange doctrine. He said, I met a pillar of fire out there. And he said, I'm Jehovah. Well, they said, Moses knew it wouldn't work. Well, he said, if I go down there and tell them that, they'll only laugh at me. Well, he said, I'm going to give you some signs they won't laugh at. If they laugh at those signs, they're in real trouble. And they came out by blood. All right, the blood perfects the bride. The Holy Ghost gives her a wardrobe. And the wardrobe is the word. It's in her garment. That's why there's no conflicts. It's in there, hidden from everybody else but the bride and the Lord. All right, now we come to the place then where we discern. The examination has been, say, I'm in the message. Well, he said, you're not feeding on the body word of a man. You're feeding on the body word of God. You're drinking of that cup of life. The life's here. So can only come the evening time. You're not doing it unworthily. So therefore, there is no condemnation now to them. Now, you can be condemned at the Lord's table without discernment. Now, this gets very sticky at this point. And I use that word maybe a little inadvisedly, but it becomes not trite, but it comes down there. What happens if a person takes what the prophet said and changes it? What if he interprets what William Branham said in the light of his own understanding? I've heard a tape where a man himself said, he said, look, he said, I studied this message for, I followed the prophet, he said, for, I think he said 10 years. And I've studied this message for 8 hours a day. And he said, anybody that tries to tell you that the baptism with the Holy Ghost and the rebirth is one and the same thing doesn't know what he's saying. And yet he knew I sat with the prophet 4.5 hours in his very position arguing that they were different to find out they were one and the same thing. I want to ask you a question. Where does it put you? I'm not trying to hurt anybody. Because, look, I'm a fallible person. You're fallible people here. But we better be careful. And this tells us here, if we are right, we are not drinking condemnation, we are drinking commendation. We are eating commendation. Now, God's not going to come down and kill us. Let me tell you one thing, though. Mount Zion's right at hand. It's right at hand. So we don't drink condemnation. Now, he said, many are weak and sickly. That's why Brother Branham could say, if you only knew who I was, you'd all be healed. Now, let's apply it to this. I'm getting on ground that I like, but I hope I can keep walking. Because we could walk out of here healed. Because I believe the prophet, and I believe that God. Because if you don't believe the word of the hour, I don't care how good that word was, it isn't. That's right. Because he said it's wiggle tail. Well, I know a lot of people were very offended when Brother Branham said that. But they always want to quote, you know, the word of God shall not pass away, but quote the rest, shall it be fulfilled. And if it's fulfilled, it's just a record. If it's got a compound meaning for compound errors, then it'll be fulfilled in the compound errors. I like that one. In that day, you know, I'm the Father, you and me, and I and you. That was at Pentecost, Brother Branham said, right now at the white throne judgment. I think there's a fourth place he said it also. So there we are. I still look out the window where the sun is set. If we don't do it, we try not to do anything wrong here. I could have said to myself, well, it's not too bad if we do it, but it's not right either. I talk like this to you and me and point the finger at myself over these things in this word here, and then we try to have it before sunset. Actually, it was really dark at night, but there's no word where we have to come at midnight or any certain dark hour. We know that darkness means the sun's gone down, the sun has set, it's evening time, so we can partake very, very quickly now. For this cause many are weak and sickly among you, many sleep. Now listen, we go back again to this verse of Scripture, and we take it here where discernment, the major thrust of Brother Branham was, the servant of God. If you cannot discern the servant of God, the message of God, with understanding, then you cannot know the word. It shows you where you are. The token has not been applied. The evidence is knowing the word of the hour. Then he said, if you then in that position, eating and drinking, he said, look, if the negative is there and you're sick because you're wrong, then conversely, if you're sick, then you come, then you got to be healed. Because now you're right, for the soul must prosper before the body prospers. And the soul can only receive light from that gene that was there as the Holy Ghost is upon it, indwelling you, to give you revelation that comes from the soul to the spirit that goes to the mind. Now, first of all, it's mind to spirit to the soul. Then it becomes soul to spirit to mind. Now you're working from the outside to the inside, and then you're working from center to circumference, and circumference is the body. John said, you may prosper and be in health even your soul prospers. Now, who cares two bits about the money part? I know we see a certain amount of money, but that's not relevant. The relevancy tonight falls on where Paul put it. The discernment which is of God, the interior which is the soul, coming forth into a body. And Brother Branham said, a servant of God is, how do you put it, not worthy of, but he said, the idea is the servant of God should have a healthy body to serve God in. I'll think of the word sometime and just tricked out of it this moment. But that's old age. That's nothing. I don't think that's even the devil. That's just old age. Now, for this cause many are sick. The discernment is off. Then if the discernment is on, then if you knew who I was, you'd all be healed. Amen. Now, I said, if we would judge ourselves, we would not be judged. Now, you're right back to foot washing again. You're right back to this simplistic attitude. Right back into proper relationship. We're judged, we're chasing the Lord, we're trained. We should not be condemned with the world. There again, you see, no condemnation. Wherever, my brethren, you come together, tarry one for another. I like that thought because it borders on foot washing again. If any man hungry, let him eat home, and so on. The Lord bless you. I think it's about time we could have our service continue with the communion and foot washing. So if the deacons will please come forward. We got a pianist. If you like the shorter form, pianist, what do you want to call it? We need a pianist. I want to play the piano. Where's Chrissy? Oh, you're hiding in the corner. Okay, get out of your corner. If you don't mind, please, we want you to play. Where's the, you got a hymn book here? Got one there? Thank you. Always songs on the blood. All right, let's, shall we then rise at this time. We read the scripture, we'll pray over the elements, and then you know how to come from the right side over here, and we have a hard job getting back to our seat, but you just sort of follow the best you can. The people who know how we do here, they'll kind of coach you to help you to do the best they can. Let's bow our heads. Heavenly Father, at this time we come to you, Lord, at like a late hour, as the prophet said, late hour, yes, symbolized by the sun going down, the rays of light departing from the earth, but thank God there's an afterglow so many times. And that glow is in our hearts, Lord, though it's dark. It's not dark within our hearts because it's illuminated. So, Lord, as we partake tonight, we partake on the grounds of what we have talked about is in your word. And, Lord, we believe we have said maybe not everything perfectly right, but we know we said some things that are right. And they lend toward a faith in thee, O God. And therefore, in this faith, we are rising because faith builds us up until there's a rapturing faith to take us away. We've got, Lord, a shout faith at this time. We're grateful for it.
Yes, Lord.
And right on the same plane, there is this resurrection faith that we know comes out of the shout faith.
Thanks.
And out of the resurrection, the shout faith, there comes a rapturing faith. All really one, but it's a progression. And Father, tonight we believe that we're progressing now to the point where in joy and love and just reveling in your goodness and your marvelous kindness to us, Lord, your amazing grace, your seeking favor with us, Lord, all of these things you've done until we just wonder, oh God, how could it be? We believe, Lord, tonight that something is happening in us and to us, Lord, wherein now as we go into this service of taking communion and foot washing, happy are we, prosperous are we, and the revelation becoming greater, and we, because of revelation, doing this as never before. Evening light has come, the ways illuminated, Lord. Walking in the light is the hour and the light, having fellowship one another. The blood of Jesus Christ cleansing us. Not only now living in the Spirit, but walking in the Spirit. Enjoying in Thee, Lord. Take away all of our sin tonight, Lord, all unbelief. Help us, O God, there not be one vestige left, a total separation. A total revelation, Lord, because it is here. Not because of us, Lord, we know that, but You brought it here. And You brought it for somebody because that's what it's all about.
Yeah,
and we claim the portion tonight, Heavenly Father. Let not one person, Lord, in this service depart this service, but has been built up in the most holy faith and leaves here prosperous and happy in Thee. And not just in the sense we want to be better Christians, but we are more mature and more understanding, more what You want us to be. And unto Thee we shall ascribe the honor and the glory in Jesus' name. Lord, bless therefore the elements of the bread as we partake. We just don't know how You do these things, Lord, but we know that You do them. We in faith taking that broken body, drinking the wine symbolic of shed blood, it's also doing its great work. These things, Lord, we now stand here and see the people partake, stand guard. O God, look to Thee for the help that lies, Lord, in the Spirit of God, moving in the Word, moving in us, and we becoming that living Word. We give Thee the praise. In Jesus' name, amen. This to my right, would you just please start coming forward there? '87, your rugged cross. If you want to sing with this, it's fine. I'm not a singer, but you people sing along. The old rugged cross on a hill far away stood an old rugged cross. After the foot washing service, of course, this is the end of the service really tonight now. So at the end of the foot washing service, you just consider yourself dismissed as usual, because it would be very difficult to come back here. The ladies, of course, will proceed upstairs and the brethren will be downstairs here. And shall we just then bow our heads in a word of prayer? Heavenly Father, we go now to the last part of this service, and we know that it'll be breaking up time, going home, Lord. We pray that You'll be with us, O God, in the foot washing as You were now, for which we thank Thee sincerely from the bottom of our hearts, Lord. For the good done to us, Father, we believe we have progressed in Thee according to Thy word, Lord. We thank You for truth. We pray therefore, Lord, in the foot washing also, the spiritual blessing of God be upon us, that we come forth here, Lord, prosperous in our hearts and minds, more dedicated, more one with Thee, Lord, and each other as ever before. Let this be a time of great rejoicing and union, O God, with Thee and each other. We're walking in the light as You're in the light, having fellowship with one another, the blood of Jesus Christ cleansing us, Lord. We claim that promise tonight because it is ours. And, Lord, it has to be somebody's. And You've brought the light to us and we've received it, so we know it is ours. We thank You for it, O God. Be with us as we journey home, Lord. We pray You'll give the people good rest in their motels, Father. We know it's not too easy away from home, but we pray, Lord, this will be an unusually good night for them, that they may rest well, Lord, and gain strength, my God, and come back rejoicing. tomorrow for service, Lord. Your grace being upon us for a wonderful time in Thee. So, Father, we just commend ourselves to You, thanking You again for the lovely folk that are with us. We appreciate them so much, Lord. We love them, O God, and may that love have a resting home in them, Lord, and all of us come up to the stature of the perfect man in Christ Jesus, our Lord. Unto Thee we shall ascribe the honor and glory, because we ask it in Jesus' name, amen. Lord bless you then, 10:30 tomorrow morning.